This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Topic of the day. We started the show, BT, talking about the Jets and the possibility. There seems to be some speculation that they at least might be considering, and I do think they should be considering it, trading up for a quarterback in the draft. You know, when you're in the seventh spot, they're hoping not to be there anymore, and you have an opportunity, if they love one of the quarterbacks, they keep coming back to that. In case you missed anything, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. If they love Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or top quarterback, then I do think they should consider trading up to get one. The only negative that I would see is that it's that same formula that has failed them so many times before. Rookie GM, rookie head coach, rookie OC, rookie quarterback. But it does feel a little bit different this time, and I would respect the aggression if Muji and Glenn decided to do that.
Well, think about what's got the Jets and other teams in trouble lately is when you do something and the primary motivating force is desperation, it generally distorts your sensibility. And Muji and Glenn are not desperate right now. Now, they're motivated, they're focused, they're hell-bent on changing this losing culture. But they're not desperate. They didn't draft Zach. They didn't draft Darnold. They didn't do the Rodgers experiment. So the compass, the compass that's guiding the Jets into this decision, which is definitely a big one. They could draft a stud at seven. That's a non-quarterback. We've talked about that. They could trade up, as Sal brought up, if they really love one of these quarterback prospects. I'm not sure I would do that, but if that's their conviction, then go for it. They could also do that. They could trade down. They could recover some draft assets they gave up in the Rodgers and the Davante Adams deal. There's a lot of things to do. Thankfully, desperation is not walking the dog right now.
Yeah, and I like that. And again, who knows if this is going to work out. And you know by now the way that I would have gone with experience, with Carroll, and keep Aaron Rodgers here, hire Pete Carroll as the head coach. But it is what it is now. And I also like the moves that they've made since. We're cleaning up a little bit of that front office. You just get the feel. Now, again, what does this mean? Who knows? I get the feel that this regime, I hesitate to say that they know what they're doing because there's a very, very, very long way to go for them to prove that they know what they're doing. But as long as you're decisive, the decisions may be incorrect and pan out to be that they don't know what they're doing and they made mistakes. It does feel like, though, they have an idea of what they want to do, meaning Muji and Glenn. Woody's letting them operate, at least for now, at least it seems that way, and they have an idea of what they want to do and what they're looking for, as opposed to just, oh, we're in the driver's seat now, and let's see what comes to us. It does feel like they have an idea, BT, and if their idea and they feel like the right way to do it would be aggressive and go out there and get a quarterback, rookie quarterback, then go do it. I'd be fine with that if I'm a Jeff fan or Muji or Aaron Glenn.
Well, let me hit you with this. 6-10, 3-12-1, 5-11. Now, those sound like Jet or Giant seasons. They're not. Those are Detroit Lions seasons, right? And then the first year with Campbell, 3-13-1, and Glenn was brought in by Dan Campbell right away. And then 9-8, then 12-5, then 15-2. Now, I know that they got whacked by the Commanders. They didn't win that game, but there is a blueprint on how to build this thing the right way. And I don't have the Broncos, you know, year by year record in front of me, but there's a reason why, you know, they brought in Sean Payton, and there's a reason why, you know, they were down for a little bit and looking up to the Chiefs and even the Chargers a little bit in the AFC West, because they were down as well. So Mucci's path is, even though he wasn't the general manager in Denver, but he was part of a room that had to make some tough decisions based on a losing culture. And we know where Aaron Glenn just came from, as I chronicled, a lot of losing. It's applicable and it's transferable to what the Jets are trying to do.
Do you think that Adam Gase knew what it took to win as a head coach at the NFL level?
I don't think that he knew how to build an infrastructure of winning, but I do think if he was given some more tools, because one of the seasons they were basically almost 500,
right.
Like it wasn't as bad as maybe some people position it to be. He was not a builder, but I think if he was handed a decent roster, I think he could have won nine games or so.
But to answer the question directly, you don't think he knows how to build, right? You kind of said
by himself without a general manager?
No. Or just build a winning culture.
I mean, probably not.
Okay.
Do
you think Robert Saleh knew what it takes to build a winning culture?
I thought he did more because the Niners had had some down years.
But again.
Evidently, no. The answer is no based on what happened.
And I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Do you think Aaron Glenn knows what it takes to build a winning culture?
Well, he lived it as a player.
But that's kind of a player.
Forget about what happened with Detroit. He lived it in 95, 96, and 97 with Parcells.
But that's kind of my point. Now, it doesn't mean that he's going to, but I get the feel that he knows. I think Todd Bowles knew as well. He just wasn't allowed to do it his way.
Yeah.
Where now I think the difference is Aaron Glenn is going to be allowed to do it his way. And I do trust that he knows what it takes to have a winning football team. I'm not saying he's going to be Bill Parcells, but he knows what a winning culture looks like. He knows firsthand as a player and a coach how to go from 0 to 100 as far as a losing culture to a winning culture. He's lived it. He's experienced it. So I believe he knows what it takes. Now it's going to be a matter of them identifying the right players, which I think that they could, and then the players actually going out there and winning, and ownership giving them an opportunity to do so, as opposed to, hey, this may take 3 or 4 years, but we know what we're doing. I don't know about Mucci. I know more definitively about Aaron Glenn that I do think he knows that. And if he feels that their best chance to win is with a rookie quarterback, then I'm all for that. Because look at the other options. When you talk about trading up, okay, well, maybe we don't love Cam Ward. Maybe they do. Maybe we don't love Shedeur Sanders. Maybe they do. Maybe they feel like this is their best chance to get a franchise-changing rookie quarterback and have everybody on the same timeline. Nice, clean start. Get him in here now. You develop him your way. What are the other options? Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, Justin Fields. Like, those to me aren't good enough anyway.
Well, they're not good enough if you're reaching just to get a quarterback. Like, to me, and again, the Darnold stuff, I've said it a million times, the Jets aren't giving him 40 mil. I don't think Darnold wants to come back here, number one. Jones, I would be open to more than you. We both keep kind of going to Justin Fields. I mean, see, I am generally of the mindset, Sal, I would rather part with money than draft equity, because you could always recover money.
Right.
You could always kind of reposition some contracts, kick some stuff down the road, whatever, find a way to finagle the finances. But once you give up, you know, a premium draft spot for a couple of years to move up 3, 4, 5 spots, whatever it might require to get Ward or Sanders, you can't recover that for a long time. So there's two different philosophies there. But let me, I wanted to ask you this. So I sent you the other day, I don't know if you saw it last night. I know you saw it when I sent it to you. You see the clip of Patino?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So last night was episode 2 of The Red Storm Rising on Vice.
Yes.
And it's been, first of all, from a St. John's perspective, it's like you get to watch an extra game a week.
Yeah,
it
I got to watch
amazing,
that.
Amazing, dude.
I did see the clip. I have not watched yet.
You didn't see the first one yet either?
No.
You got to dive in. You'll love it when you have time. Just go. Last night was episode 2. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And the clip that I sent Sal the other day, I texted it to him when I was home, was the clip December 20th, whatever it was, up at Providence. They were down by 16 at the half, and he lit them up. I mean, he basically said, you know, where the bleep were you guys raised? How fragile are you guys to bleep it late? Like, it was old. You don't hear that anymore. Can you ever imagine Saleh talking like that? Not like that.
No, because I don't think he knows. That's what I'm saying. Like,
can you imagine Glenn?
Yes, I can.
Boom.
I think that Glenn knows, and he learned from one of the best ever in Parcells. Again, he's not Parcells, and you got to be your own person.
Sure.
I do think Glenn, though, has that in him. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Trey is calling from Jersey City. What's up, Trey?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What's up?
All right, so two things. Real quick, I just want to, like, pretty much oversimplify this. Number one, gaslighting, my baby mother is very good at it. So I have plenty of experience. It is simply saying or doing something that you know will get a rise out of the person
that's
you're doing it to.
That's what I thought.
Okay. That's all. We're getting somewhere.
So whether that's something that's not true or whatever, it's like if I know you eat oranges and I'm like, yo, are you hungry? Here's an orange. You're going to get annoyed because I know you don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know
that
I'm
makes
saying?
Sense. That's what
okay.
I thought.
That's all it is. Secondly, and I might sound absolutely crazy, I'm only 28, and I've been a Jets fan my entire life. I'm subjecting my 2.5-year-old to it already, so I kind of feel screwed up for that already. But why is nobody talking about Jordan Travis? I understand they're still with his knee right now, trying to put it back together.
Well, that's why. That's the answer, Travis.
I totally understand, but is there nothing like, I understand also things have been done. I would have loved to have seen him really try to actually learn from Rodgers in the time that he had. And hopefully, at least we should have got more updates on what is going on with his.
Hold on, Trey. A couple things. Now, I got it. You know, I'm a little bit interested in Jordan Travis myself, but first of all, Muji and Glenn did not draft him, number one. So I don't know what they think of his tape. I don't know what their tolerance will be in terms of letting him get healthy. He's an interesting prospect. He was really good, and he's dynamic. But he really, I mean, that was an excruciatingly...
He's a project.
He's only a project because of the injury.
Okay,
he's a physical project. He's not a quarterback project.
Yeah, no, but he's a project because of the you're waiting for him. He can't play this year.
He couldn't play last year, and he did take a step back. You can't bank on him being ready for OTAs, but... Could he possibly be ready by midseason if it's a 4 or 5? I don't know.
By midseason, because we had this conversation whenever we talked about the Jets quarterbacks last,
yeah.
And his name came up, and I was saying, well, is he an option to be in the mix to be, you know, one of the either the
yeah,
backup
no.
or the right? So I'm going based off of that. He's not going to be ready to start the season. So he was going to be a third string quarterback. Like he's not going to be in the conversation to be the Jets starter. I wouldn't think this year. Would he be in the conversation to be the backup this year. Right.
I agree with that too.
Okay, so then that's why I say he's a project. I'm not knocking him.
Gotcha.
All that stuff, but so you already had him for a year. Year two, he's not going to be in the conversation to start or back up. What
mm-hmm.
are we talking about here?
Yeah.
You just basically draft him and stashed him, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But and maybe this regime gets to evaluate him here a little bit. But we're talking about maybe the following year.
Correct.
So are you willing to say, or are they going to be willing to say, hey, let's roll with Tyrod Taylor for now, and Jordan Travis is going to be our guy? I don't know. I wouldn't definitively say he's not going to be the answer, but he's not in the conversation right now.
Let me ask you a question. He's not. I agree. Now, we talk about Sauce's contract. Let's say they don't love Cam and they don't love Sanders. They're not moving up. Leap of faith, let's say in the building, that's what they're thinking. Is there any chance that they trade Sauce, they trade Garrett Wilson, and they just completely hit a reset that I don't think anybody fit like a full reset, that nobody really thinks or really wants necessarily, but that would put them in position for Arch Manning?
I don't know if you could do that, though.
Why not? Because you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, because how do you know what's going to happen next year as far as the draft shakes out, who's going to have that top pick?
Well, you don't, but at the very least, even if you don't get Arch, you do reset the finances, and you're not throwing $100 million at Garrett, $80 at Garrett and $100 at Sauce.
Yeah. No.
I don't know.
Yeah, that part I understand, but like you'd be putting an awful lot in the hope of getting Arch Manning. Then what if you don't have – obviously, you're not going to have the top pick. Well, you wouldn't think, and he's going to go top pick.
Yeah,
right?
But I think next year's quarterback market is better than this year, once you get past Arch.
And then if you're telling me that it's not just about one player, then I could be maybe more open to
you'd
that.
You'd be more open to
well,
it.
Well, yeah, if you say you like the quarterback class next year better than this year.
Man, this one's weak.
Yeah, okay, well, but maybe
love it.
But maybe they love Cam Warden. Maybe they see an opportunity in front of him. Again, we don't know, and I don't think it's likely. We could have this conversation and have a fun talk show and debate the sports guy. Like, that's what we do. It's mid-February,
yeah.
You know, having the conversation. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen. But I do think that it should be something that at least they should be considering if they like...
But not consider a rebuild. Not consider a knock it down, fully reset the finances and start over.
I personally wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that, but I wouldn't do... Like, if they choose to do that, so be it. Trading the other guys, I would not recommend doing that. I'm not saying I wouldn't trade Sauce Gardner. I probably would.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think they could win some games this year, build a foundation, and move forward. What I wouldn't do is try to knock it down and rebuild... in hopes of drafting the next great thing. That's what I would not do. BT and Sal on the Fan. Harvey is calling from Florida. What's up, Harvey?
How you doing? I went to the University of Miami back from way back, 67 to 71. So I've seen Vinny Testaverde. I've seen Bernie Kosar. With that being said, Cam Ward, and I have season tickets to University of Miami football. In all the years I have seen quarterbacks, Cam Ward reminds me so much of like a Pat Mahomes. He is so good at being able to, he has a football presence. Whoever gets him, sometimes he makes judgments, but that can be worked out as far as, you know, sometimes, you know, like the pick, he throws, you know.
Are we sure? Well, I mean, the Jets couldn't get it out of Zach Wilson.
No. Zach Wilson and Cam Ward is nothing like Zach Wilson. But I'm telling you, if you look at film of Cam Ward, he's so close. And I hate to say, you know, to match him up to like a Pat Mahomes, but he's that type. He can run. He can throw. He's got such a presence about
him. I like
him.
I really do like him. I like him better than Shador Sanders. I do.
Believe me, whoever gets him, with a little working, you know, to clean up some of his he does have misguided, but all college quarterbacks have the misguided plays. But I'm telling you, again, I've watched college football for 50 years.
Yep.
And I have never seen anybody who's so close to a type of Pat Mahomes type of quarterback. Run, throw.
Yeah, I can't. Here's the thing, Harvey, and thank you for the call, and we do appreciate your insight and input on the conversation. You lose me when you start comparing him to Pat Mahomes. Like, can we just take baby steps here? Everybody, the actual experts are saying that it's a down year for quarterbacks in this draft, and now you're going to say that he reminds you of Patrick Mahomes. So I just would hate to use that comparison, because then people hear that, the expectations go nuts. Same thing with Zach Wilson. Who was he? Was he compared to Pat Mahomes? I think he was, right? Zach Wilson was compared to Pat Mahomes.
Some similarities, sure. Yeah, platform stuff, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Good arm.
I mean, come on. That's why I can't. I don't want to hear those comparisons. You could say that you think he's going to be good. Fine. Don't reference Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady or any of the great quarterbacks.
It's a disservice to the kid. Let me just read you something here. All right. So there's a lot of positives, obviously. And I could tell you what the positives are because I watched him play. I'm probably more concerned with his weaknesses, which maybe I'm not as familiar with. So as I read here from NFLDraftBuzz.com.
This is his scouting report?
This Cam Ward.
I love
this
stuff.
Yep, no doubt. Sometimes relies too heavily on arm talent and throw it off back foot rather than resetting. All right, so what does that mean? Mechanics can get a little sloppy.
That can be coached, though.
I agree.
Okay,
I agree.
So check there.
No doubt. That
here's
could
what
be coached
I usually
out
do, by the way, before you finish, because I do love this exercise, because we can't watch film of every single player. What I do is read the scouting reports and then take from what I would value.
Correct.
And decipher to be problematic or positive. In this case, to me, that's probably a wash. Like, okay, fine, it can be coached. Go ahead. What do
this
you got?
This one might worry you. Ball security remains a concern, particularly when extending plays. Had 8 fumbles in 2024. Despite improved pocket awareness, puts the ball on the turf.
Also, still something that I believe can be coached, not alarming to me. Not good, but that's something that can be coached.
Okay.
Young player maybe trying to do too much. Daniel Jones. Yeah, right, exactly right.
Was coached out of him by Dable year one. Deep ball accuracy can waver when mechanical base breaks down, especially on throws beyond 45 yards. All right. I think most players throw the ball beyond 45 or 50. There's some, you know, some up and downs. I mean, some obviously better than others, but and that's not incredibly alarming. This one I don't love. Still developing consistency reading complex coverage rotations, particularly against disguise safety looks. Now, I'm sure he's got the aptitude to adjust, and yeah, you can coach that up and coach that out, the bad stuff, but coverage rotations, I don't love seeing that as a problem.
Now, it's not a deal breaker, but it's the first, to me, knock or red flag or little check against Cam Ward in the scouting report. Mm-hmm. Anything else you have there?
That was the main. Okay. Those are the main bullet points. This is actually a pretty extensive way to look at Cam Ward. They've got player comparisons, Bo Nix. They've got Sam Howell.
See, remember, Bo Nix.
They've got Zach Wilson, too.
Bo Nix is a great example because not a lot of people were high on him a year ago.
No, I know.
And yet Sean Payton, a quarterback, I don't want to say whisper, because there are no such things as quarterback whispers. But he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to quarterback developing.
Yep.
And he identified in his scouting report something that he saw that he loved about Bo Nix. And maybe it was, hey, he could read a complex run a complex offense, which Sean Payton has, or read a defense the right way. Whatever it was, a lot of people were doubting Bo Nix. Sean Payton didn't, and look what he did in year one.
He was good, man, and he got better as the year went on. This might be a little bit more favorable. So this is an overall rating thing. So they've got a defensive rating. So this is the average rating of the opposition defense that he faced, okay? It's a little low, 73%. We all know the ACC is not the SEC or even the Big Ten. So the ACC is a little loose, a little weak back there, third level, whatever. Release speed, 77%. Gets rid of it quick. Short passing, 83%. That's good. Medium passing, 92%. Terrific.
Meaning when he gets rid of it?
Yeah. And like success rate and
but
yards.
All those numbers are the
10,
same thing.
15, okay. 25 okay, yeah. yard increments. Yeah. Long passing, 93%. Rush scramble ability, nearly 80%. So he's really good medium. He's really good deep. He moves around pretty good. Now, he played against some weaker defenses. The question that they will have to interpret and what they'll have to really, this is the main question. As the defenses increase, because the ACC's defense was fairly weak compared to the others, as I said, will the other things that are rated very high, will they drop? And if they drop, will it be a precipitous drop or a slight drop? If it's a slight drop, well, then that's justifiable enough to go get him at two or three.
You know,
or one.
I love doing this stuff, and I'm just trying to remember the draft. What draft was the Dwayne Haskins? You remember the year?
Oh, God. Was that 2018? God, no, that
2019?
Wasn't 18. No, 2018 was our guys. I think it was 2019.
Okay, because I remember.
Or 20. No, it may have been 20. Didn't he play during COVID? I think he played in a lot of empty stadiums.
Can you look that up, Connor, real quick? Dwayne
2019.
It was 2019. And here's why I say that, because I remember doing some overnight shows at the time.
Yep.
And reading, I forget what it was. It was either Phil Steele's, like college football. So whatever. It was one
Walter
of those,
Campus.
Yeah,
it's
one of those magazines that gave you a great scouting report.
Yep.
And I would read certain things. And I told you I didn't like Dwayne Haskins based on what I saw and then maybe some stuff that I read. But one thing that always stuck out to me was the report on Gardner Minshew, who was overlooked. He went like 178.
He transferred to Washington State. Remember, he was at a couple of schools. Yep.
So whatever it was. But I remember just reading the quarterbacks. And at the time, it must have been for the Giants. I don't know if it was both Giants. I forget the exact scenario. Giants definitely with Haskins, right?
Yeah. Yes,
okay,
for sure.
So that for sure. So I was just looking over all the quarterbacks. And I'll never forget, like, just one of the things that I loved about Gardner Minshew, it said something about his intangibles and, like, you know, not good this or that, not good this or
not
that.
Big.
Yeah, not, whatever. Doesn't have the arm strength, the size, whatever, but off the charts, leadership. And I was like, man, I like that. And then it kind of played out exactly like that in his NFL career. He hasn't been good enough to be a starter, really, but he's had some success.
Yeah.
And you see those things.
Yes.
So I value those things. That's what I'm saying. Like, we can't watch all the film all the time. It's just not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
The expert do it, and they still get it wrong. But you should, the way that I would do it is if you're just a fan like we are, like, you read some of that stuff, you watch some of the highlights, and take certain things from what you would value. Some people may look at that and say, yeah, that's great, Wood Minshew, that he has the intangibles, but he doesn't have the arm strength. Maybe you would value that more. So that's just how you piece together the scouting reports on somebody that we really don't know, watching him day in and day out. And by the way, there's not a ton of tape on Cam Ward anyway. Like, it's not like he's an eight-year veteran. You know what I mean?
I know.
These guys now younger and younger coming in the league.
Here's what I'm not doing anymore. It's become pretty non-negotiable for me. I can't take somebody who can't move. You got to have some pocket. You got to be able to bounce a little bit. You got to move. You got to move in the modern NFL. And that's one thing, maybe rest in peace, Haskins couldn't do. He wasn't very quick at all. He was more of a pocket throw. Because I remember Stephen A, who obviously wasn't watching him. Stephen A's like, oh, man, this guy flies. And everybody's like, dude, he's slow. Like, right. He doesn't run at all. So Haskins really couldn't run. You got to move a little bit. You have to have a little wiggle. And I need you to be at least 6'2". You know, 225.
Okay, see, you look at those. See, I don't even value that. So
I do now. Because like Zach Wilson was he was 6'2", but he was like 212. And you looked at his body, never looked
it.
Like like a big boy. Like he looked like a college kid out there.
I mean, he still looks like a college kid out there. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan More calls when we come back. Remember, John Franco will join us in studio coming up at 1 o'clock, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Wednesday afternoon, 888-808-1019.
So obviously doing a lot of football here. Get back to the calls, too. Some baseball we sprinkled in. But the Knicks resume their second-half push here, and we'll see what happens with this season. I wanted to read you a quote. Not that it means he's going to be right, but I want your opinion on this quote that is from Brian Windhorst, who covers the NBA.
Yes, familiar with him.
You know who he is. Yeah. If you believe that this is a thought that is now permeating the rest of the NBA, or if this is just maybe specific to Brian Windhorst. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's about the Knicks, obviously. Quote, I'm simply not staying up nights worrying about the Knicks. In all honesty, I don't think they're very equipped right now to win the 12-game playoff games to win the East. This team screams to me, great regular season team. That's it.
I could see that. However, We don't know because we've never seen them in the postseason, which is why I've been telling you all year long, I need to see in the playoffs. Whatever we saw prior, it was a totally different team. Even with Brunson still being here, you know, whatever, some of the same players and Brunson being the main focal point and Tibbs, it's a totally different team than anything we've seen in the recent postseason years with the Knicks. So I tend to agree. I know you, you know, you felt that way kind of from the beginning, mm-hmm. was unsure about this mix. Watching them, I do feel like they're a team that, I hate to say bully, you know, maybe that term shouldn't be used anymore, whatever, but in the regular season when things are going well, mm-hmm. the Knicks look like they can't be stopped, right? Knocking down shots all over the place, steamrolling teams by 20, then all of a sudden they get into a battle with a tougher team and they lose. Those aren't good signs moving forward, and I don't know if this offense, which is their strength, is going to be able to keep that level.
It's not the Warriors from a couple years ago to win it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Is it going to be able to get through to the postseason? I'm not so sure. But remember, too, no Mitchell Robinson either. So I agree, but I still think it's TBD.
Yeah, it is. You know, you're right how I feel so far, and hopefully that changes. You know, look, I'm kind of looking at this start here, and they don't play tonight. They play tomorrow to start the second half. They play Toronto. Okay. Play Chicago, whatever.
Where?
That's home.
Okay.
But then we're going to get some interesting tests. Friday night at the Cavaliers.
That's a huge test.
It's a big test. And then Sunday, you get a day off Saturday. Sunday up in Boston. So back-to-back at the Cavaliers at Boston. And then, all right, Philly, whatever. Then you're in Memphis, and then it's Miami. But then you play the Warriors, who are, you know, obviously a little dangerous. Then you play the Lakers with Doncic. Then you go out west, and you play the Clippers, the Kings, Portland. Not that Portland's good, but you've got to deal with a bunch of West Coast games in X amount of days. So
we'll learn about them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The next 2, 4, 6, 8. The next 12 or 13 games, I won't say it's going to define who they are, but I think we're going to have a pretty good answer. And I would think Mitch certainly gets back by that point.
BT and Sal on the Fan. John Frankel will join us at 1 o'clock coming up in studio. Let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Talk about the Jets quarterback situation. Frank is calling from White Plains. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Hi, Frank.
Brandon.
Hey, Frank.
Good. Hey, Sal, I watch you every night on SNY. You're so funny, man. You really make my evening so good all the time.
We appreciate that very much, Frank. That's kind of you. You're the greatest. Nice little pick-me-up. See, it takes Frank to build me up today. I like that, Frank.
Your spirits were down today, Sal.
Thank you. Well, I mean, some people try to knock you down and really, you know, demean you and take you. No, Frank, talk to me. Yeah, tell me how great I am.
I used to call you in nighttime when you used to be overnight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The overnight success. Yes. Thank you, Frank. Go ahead.
Listen, guys, about the quarterback for Jets. Let me tell you, I don't think it's any good quarterback to draft this year. Mm-hmm. What Jets, they have a winning team if they have a good quarterback. What they should do is Matthew Stafford, mm-hmm. if he's available, they should go and get him, and they'll really be fine with him. He could play good for the Jets, I think. Thank you very much
thank you for the kind words. I'm glad he brought him up, BT. We alluded to this before. The only reason why we really aren't hammering Stafford to the Jets is because financially it doesn't seem like it would be possible, assuming Stafford and the Rams are done, right?
Partly. I think the other thing is we just got through with Rodgers. Now, I know Rodgers is older and Stafford is still good, and Rodgers is still pretty good. It's the money, but it's also like the same roadmap. Chase the aging quarterback, a quick fix, a little Band-Aid.
I disagree. I think it will be a totally different roadmap. The same roadmap will be to get a rookie quarterback in here with this group. If Stafford's available and financially could fit, and I know you like him for the Giants. We both said a week ago that would be the best option for the Giants for a lot of different reasons. You don't think Stafford would be a great option for the Jets and Aaron Glenn?
A great option?
Elevate already immediately.
I admit that the Rodgers stuff burned me a little bit. I know. I mean, so...
Different personalities, though.
I don't even have a problem with Rodgers' person. I like Aaron Rodgers. I want him back.
I don't mean a negative with Rodgers. I mean that all the extra bullcrap that sometimes is on Rodgers,
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Just yeah, for people sure. People going after him because of the vaccination.
Well, Stafford's wife is going to be doing a podcast. You want to talk about the new Jets regime? I mean, she seems pretty open-minded. She says whatever she wants. I mean,
that would be an issue if they're losing.
It could be an issue. I mean, and that wouldn't be enough to dissuade me from going after Matthew Stafford. I think Matthew Stafford could still sling it. I think he's a quiet warrior. I think he's respected. He should have beat Philly. I mean, really, he was this close to beating the Eagles in the snow. He could. So don't say, oh, he's a dome guy in Detroit. Oh, he can only play in the weather of L.A. No, nonsense. He went out there in Philly in 22-degree temps with snow, and he balled out. He played better than Jalen Hurts. I like him. He's good. But think about how I started the conversation. It is the same roadmap, at least the most recent one.
No, because they're not as desperate. And to your point before, where Joe Douglas and Saleh had to be, they had no choice. They were desperate to find a quarterback. Went all in for Aaron Rodgers at his age. Stafford is younger. Yeah. It's not a move of desperation. Who is the best? Forget about finances. Oh, think of all the options for any quarterback needy team right now this offseason, assuming Stafford is available, is the best option to take Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders? Is the best option Justin Fields? Sam Darnold? Like, who do you think is the best available option to satiate your quarterback need?
Oh, well said. Well said. Good word. Vocabulary.
Pulling out the intellect today.
he's doing a little verbal flex. I would say that to answer that, you know how I am, I've got to provide a little context here.
Okay.
I have to, because it's important. To me, the best route would be giving up the least amount to get the highest level of functionality at the spot.
Okay, so value. You're
so that's why it's not Darnold. Not giving up $40 million. Right. That's why for the Jets, for me, it's not. Are you trading for Stafford or is he cut?
No, I would think that he's going to be cut, right?
Well, I mean, think about this. Why would they cut him if they're going to have five teams lining up to trade for him?
I don't think that they... I mean, then maybe it is a trade. I'm not sure.
I can't give up draft equity for Stafford. I can't do it again.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. You're right. It would be a trade.
That's what I'm saying.
If they do turn him down... Yeah, but and now that I'm thinking about it, those reports that are saying that like they want the number three pick from the Giants, which they're never going to get. Still, okay, you're going to trade for him. You're not giving up the first round. Like, the Jets aren't giving up number seven.
No, but it's going to be a second round pick. It's what you gave up for Rodgers.
Here's the problem with the Rams. If the Rams, and I don't believe he's going to be available, okay?
I do.
If the Rams do make him available, they then lose all leverage. Like, it can't be like, it's going to be definitive. They decide, we're done with Stafford. Mm-hmm. Now he's available. So if you're another team, why would you then go nuts trading for him?
Because you want to win?
No, you don't like the other options?
That,
okay, you're going to be in competition. Let's say the Jets and Giants both want him.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, but you're not going to give up a top pick to get him.
I'm not. No, no way.
I don't think any team would do it. Like, my view on Stafford changes if it's just first round or bust with
it's
that.
It's not going to be a first round pick. I don't even want to give up a second. I just don't.
But
like,
he's
he just
still,
went through this. With, I know
still,
he's still good. He's still good.
No, he's still the best option by far that's available.
He is, but would he be...
And by
be?
The way, if it is a trade, BTC, this is where it gets weird for me.
Yep.
Like, what are they on the hook then for financially?
I think that they would have to renegotiate a deal. Talk about the new team, not the Rams, obviously.
Right.
No, dead money. I don't care about their dead money situation. Yeah, they'd have to negotiate a new deal. And, you know, you could always find a way to creatively work around it. That's one of the good things about Muji. He just, and I've said this a few times, he just went through this with Russell Wilson. All right, $59 million dead cap hit. Get lost. We'll figure things out. And they did. So I'm going to trust Muji's ability to manipulate. Not that he was just the only one doing it. He had, you know, Pat and the GM, whatever. But he was in the room where they were able to navigate something that was financially unpleasant, if you will. Would I rather give up a second round pick for Stafford, or would I rather give $20 million for Justin Fields? I think I'd probably rather give up $20 million for Fields.
Yeah, but he's not as good.
I know he's not.
I'd rather get what I pay for and pay more, assuming that they can make that fit. Now, again, I'm not trading a top pick. Second round, I'd strongly consider it. Then you get to go over all the picks and where you're at and all those different things. But, yeah, I guess I just didn't think it was realistic because of the Jets' finances to fit Stafford. But if he's available to all and the Jets could make it work, then I had no question about it would be going after him. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
All right, the slam dunk in Vegas is live. Hey, time is running out. There's only a couple more days to win this. I believe this is the final week, and you guys can find your way to Sin City during the tournament. Winning is easy. All you have to do is download the free Odyssey app, check in every day, listen for at least an hour to the Fan for a minimum 1 hour, and that's going to be your daily entry. That will be recorded, and that's your chance to win travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, where you and the crew is going to get this, your crew, your hand-selected crew. That's tough. Like, if you got five or six, I mean, that's actually could present some issues for you. Yeah, I mean, you got to leave people out. That's a them problem, not a you problem. You're going. Anyway, you and the crew is going to stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination. Visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. Also, you score $20,000 for you to find and fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the College Basketball Championship, which, by the way, is rapidly approaching. Only, I know St. John's has, what, five more Big East games left? And then the tournament, got a game tonight, and it's almost go time. It's almost March. So that is a chance to win 20 Gs at a trip to Vegas. Make sure to download the free Odyssey app and listen.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call is just texting with Franco, who's downstairs. And, you know, we have an issue because of the building.
Did he bring food?
No, I don't think so.
Never too late, John.
But Johnny Franco will be on with us in studio in about 10 minutes from now. No, he's just like, did you guys move studios? I'm like, no, it's a different address, but the same building because of the construction. I'm going to play something for you before we get back to the calls here and see what you think of this. Now, I'm rolling this out there on the air. We didn't test this. I did it off the air, but we didn't test this off the air. This is going to be just a live thing.
Okay.
A scouting report. I told you my Uncle John, who was at opening day with us last year.
He's a nut.
Just to give you, he is a nut. Now, just to give you a little backstory, he's the one who, like, he was really my coach in baseball. Uh-huh. And he taught me, you know, because my father wasn't a sports fan. Yep. So, and my uncle, diehard Yankee fan.
Yeah, he's all in.
Last name Pepitone. So, like, his whole family, my mom's brother, they're all in on the Yankees. So, for years, growing up since the 80s, he's the one who put me on a John Sterling and just all this Yankee rhetoric and nonsense forever.
Did you ever think about joining the Empire back in the day?
No. Now, remember, luckily I was coming from a place of power even as a 7-year-old or 8-year-old when the Mets were the team in town.
Mm-hmm.
So, they had to wear those Yankee losing years in the 80s and 90s and then whatever. So, we know what happened. The rest is history, unfortunately, not favorable for the Mets. Anyway, so here's a little scouting report from Uncle John who's down in Tampa. He called me, and he usually doesn't do this. He'll text me stuff that I can't even make out what it is because he doesn't text. He does the voice text. Like,
oh, I can't say. Do you ever do that?
No, me I don't either. What a waste of time. I just type it.
I know.
Or call. My wife does that sometimes. Hey, you know, Siri, what? I don't want to ruin the phone here, but would you tell me about this? And I'm like, see, look, already it's going off. I'm like, just Google it. Like, whatever. All right, anyway, I'm going to play the voice message. Okay. Hopefully we can hear it. So he usually doesn't call, but he did call down live in Tampa watching his Yankees.
Sal, put some money on Bellinger, bro. He was just keying off, hitting monster home runs, bro. Him and Dominguez. Nasty shots, bro. Put some money on it this year, bro. Yankees are going all the way.
I mean, come on, dude. Come on.
And Uncle Pepitone, was it a 65-mile-per-hour batting practice fastball or was it 72?
Come on, you see what I got to deal with?
Put some money on Belly and Dominguez. Ooh, we're going all the way.
He's a nut job.
That's great.
There you have it.
I think Belly's going to be perfect for the Yankees, but that's ambitious. February, whatever the hell it is, put money on them to win because they're hitting balls out in Tampa.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I don't think it's an unreal premise.
No.
As a matter of fact, I expect the Yankees to be in the World Series. So if we expect the Yankees to be in the World Series, there's a very good chance that they could win the World Series.
Yeah.
But not because of Bellinger or Dominguez in spring training batting practice.
Is he a Boone guy? Yes or no?
I think it depends on the day. He's texting me some stuff about, why isn't he doing this and that? Yeah. Now, also to give a reference point, Uncle John was all in on Spencer Jones last year. Spencer Jones, Sal. Spencer Jones.
So was somebody else.
I don't want to bring that up, but he used to, dude, the rookie cards back in the day, Roberto Kelly, Bam Bam Mulin, Sal. Like, this has been going on since the 80s. Every year, Bam Bam Mulins, Kevin Moss, Spencer Jones, and now Bellinger and Dominguez.
Don't forget about Mike Blowers. Chuck Carey and Sam Militello and a host of pitchers who did nothing.
Oh God
almighty. Andy Hawkins, wow. He's all in. I love it. He's a good dude, too. I enjoy it. Is he coming to the game this year?
I don't know. We got to figure out what the situation is with tickets. And by the way, did you hear Evan and Sean getting on me yesterday?
Boy, everybody's getting on you lately.
Yeah, I know.
Sal's just become
the punching bag here.
A little juice here at the station. I did not. I heard some of their show, but I didn't hear this.
Luckily for everybody involved, I don't have that same...
Fight back. That's
what
you used to.
I had on the overnight. Yeah. It's a little different now. I've mellowed.
I got
slightly.
Yeah.
Keep poking and you're going to find out.
Yeah.
So yesterday I was in the bathroom ready to leave. And by the way, I was like Mets'd out yesterday. I just had a Mets jacket.
Yeah, you were. You had the hoodie.
It was cold. Mets hoodie, Mets, no reason, whatever. But I'm wearing all Mets gear and Mark Zuckerman, who's like, when you think of Mark Zuckerman, what do you think he does here at the station? What's his number one thing?
I think Facebook. Even though that's not it.
No, you know what I'm talking about.
Of course
right?
I do. Yeah. I'm being facetious. Right. I don't know. Sales. Yankees, obviously.
Yeah, bingo. Sales. Yankees.
Of course.
Yankees
I saw him this morning. I was talking to him. He's going down to Tampa next week.
Correct. He's the Yankees sales
guy.
He handles all the Yankees tickets. He's the Yankees sales guy. So I happen to run into him and whatever, washing our hands in the bathroom. And I'm like, hey, Zuck, what's going on? I'm like, all right. And we're wrapping. I'm like, go Yanks. Because I'm like saying to him and for the
station. Go make us some money.
Whatever, go Yanks. Like, yeah, exactly. Easy to sell if the Yanks are winning. And Marash comes out of the stall with the L chain on.
No way.
Yeah, and goes, go Yanks, huh?
Oh,
and I was like,
I love that Sean heard that. That's
exactly
awesome.
Before I could even walk in the building at SNY, because I was leaving here to go to SNY, then the guys at SNY, go Yanks, huh? I'm like, oh, God. Marash brought it on the air, called me a fraud fan. I mean, come on here.
You're getting arrows from every direction.
It's unbelievable. But back to the point, one of the reasons why I was trying to grease the skids a little bit with Zucko Yanks, Maybe he needs some opening day tickets for Uncle John. I mean, it's... You see how
that's why. Oh, God. Well, how did he get tickets last year, John? You?
I think through me, yeah.
Oh, yes, right. You did get one.
What, we must have had... I was trying to do the math on that because he brought his son.
Yeah, and you and I sat next to him. John Colt, was there.
Me. Yeah, you,
Colt. And Colt was there, obviously.
Yeah, so I don't know if I went with credentials or
Hop was there. Didn't Hop bring his son? I think he sat somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, maybe sat somewhere. Anyway, we got to figure that out.
Oh, it's definitely done. I mean, we're going. We're doing the show from there, and you're going to wear the Yankee jersey that day.
Although, is it not
for the bet.
Is it not a 3 o'clock start?
What?
I think the Yankees is a 3 p.m. start.
Don't say that.
Doesn't mean we won't be doing the show there. Again, we got to work these things out for some reason.
Wait, no, I need an answer now. The home opener?
Everybody's more concerned with slings and arrows as opposed to getting stuff in order around here.
Wait, do the Yankees... I know the Mets open on the road, and then they come home to face Toronto.
Right.
Because there's the whole backdrop. Maybe Pete's getting
introduced
as a Blue
Jay. Which is also,
I think,
a 4 o'clock start, if I'm not mistaken. That Friday, I want to say.
3:05 Yankee start?
Yeah, 3:05. So now
that
what
sucks.
What now? Wait, why does that suck?
Because now I don't know if we're gonna go.
Why wouldn't we go?
Well, why would we go if we're off the air at 2?
It's still live at Yankee Stadium. Go to the game for a little bit.
I mean, I want to go, and I might have to pull an evidence and say screw work that day.
He's just going to go to the game. All right, BT and Sal.
3:05, yeah.
I know, it's not the same
as Thursday.
You get a longer show. We do the full show out there.
No, we got to let her listen.
See what's up.
Hurley owes this one because it's spring training.
BT and Sal, the fan. Ooh, there's station infighting going on now. Well, all right, BT and Sal, we come back. Johnny Franco live in studio with us. We'll have some fun with him when we return.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.